Welcome to the Dry Bones Ministries podcast, where we strive to provide great preaching and teaching so that listeners will discover or rediscover the goodness, truth, and beauty of our Catholic faith. If you are interested in supporting the work we are doing, visit us at drybonespgh.org or follow us on social media at drybonespgh. Thanks for joining us. We hope that you're inspired, uplifted, and encouraged. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Dry Bones Ministries special podcast series on 33 Days to Merciful Love. My name is Father Adam Potter, and today is day 26, and we continue on some of our last days in this fourth week, coming to our final days of preparation for this consecration to Merciful Love. And so as we begin, let's pray, calling upon the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who have taught the hearts of the faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant that in the same Spirit we may be truly wise, and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Day 26, the world's darkness. This week we focused on better understanding the darkness of our own weakness, brokenness, and sin. And through that effort, we've come to find a light in the darkness, namely God's own love that fills up the abyss of our nothingness. Now today, we're going to reflect on how the love that fills up the abyss of our nothingness also overflows. In fact, as we'll now learn, this overflowing love has the potential to engulf the entire world. I say it has the potential because it's up to us whether or not we'll let it. All right, so here's a most important question. Do you want to help save the world? Clearly, our world needs saving. As we learned on day 13, in many ways, we're living in a time of unprecedented darkness and evil. And for that very reason, in a sense, God is giving us unprecedented grace. In other words, now is the time of mercy. And guess what? During this blessed time, God wants to save the world by the power of divine mercy through us. Let me explain. As we also learned on day 13, Saint Therese is a prophet who teaches us that in the present time of mercy, God wants to work some of the greatest miracles of his mercy in the history of the world. How? By taking some of the littlest souls and making them into some of the greatest saints. Okay, but why? Is it so we can walk around with little halos around our heads and have nice spiritual conversations? No, it's to save the world. That's God's master plan in this time of mercy. He wants to save the world through a legion of little souls inspired by saints like Thérèse of Lisieux. And while Saint Thérèse begged God for a great number of such souls, it actually doesn't take that many. It just takes you and me and maybe one other person. If that sounds like crazy talk, don't blame me. Blame the devil. After all, it was the devil himself who said to Saint John Vianney, "If there were three upon earth like you, my kingdom would be destroyed." Just three. Or don't blame the devil, blame Abraham, our father in faith. Remember how he spoke with God about Sodom and Gomorrah? He asked the Lord, "Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you then destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it?" Genesis 18:24. The Lord said he would spare it for their sake, but Abraham kept negotiating. "What about for the sake of 45? "Yes, I'll spare it." 40? "Yes." 30? "Yes." 20? "Yes." 10? "Yes." Abraham stopped there, and because there weren't 10 righteous people in the city, it was destroyed. So blame Abraham. After all, maybe he could have gotten the number down to just 3. Anyway, here's the point. Even though the world is immersed in darkness, our situation isn't hopeless. I mean, it doesn't take that many people to save the world. And why is that? Because in a sense, the world has already been saved. In fact, Jesus Christ's suffering, death, and resurrection was enough to save a gazillion worlds. However, as we learned on day 7, the Lord relies on us to help bring his salvation to others, even to those at the ends of the earth. Acts 1:8. Now, this doesn't mean we have to go on endless mission trips and pilgrimages. Rather, we can be missionaries of divine mercy to the whole world through prayer. That's why St. Therese, who never left the convent, was declared the patron saint of missionaries and the missions, along with St. Francis Xavier. And while Francis physically went to the ends of the earth through apostolic labors, Therese spiritually traveled the world through prayer. Specifically, her prayer of offering herself to merciful love caused God's mercy to overflow from her little soul and out to the whole world. So imagine if at least 3 more of us lived the offering to merciful love to the full. But there's another extremely important prayer for the present time of mercy, the Chaplet of Divine Mercy. This prayer comes to us from St. Therese's friend, St. Faustina, and it's powerful. In fact, you might say that, in a sense, it's the most powerful prayer there is. What? Isn't the Mass the most powerful prayer? Yes, and that's why the chaplet is so mighty. The chaplet is a kind of extension of the prayer of the Mass. More specifically, it's an extension of the most powerful moment of the Mass, what I earlier called the supercharged moment. It's that moment at the Mass when, through him, with him, and in him, the body and blood, soul and divinity of Jesus Christ is offered up to the Father as a perfect sacrifice of love. It's that moment at Mass when, in spiritual union with the priest at the altar, all the baptized can hold up to Christ's perfect sacrifice of love to the Father as their own sacrifice. All right, so when we pray the chaplet, the intention of this supercharged moment of the Mass becomes very focused. Specifically, it becomes a plea for mercy. As we hold up Christ's perfect sacrifice of love to the Father, we cry out for mercy for ourselves and for the whole world. And the Father especially hears and answers such a perfect and moving prayer. For more information on the chaplet and how to pray it, follow this endnote. So that's the secret to saving the world, inspired by Saints Therese and Faustina. It's to borrow the infinite merits of Christ on the cross and to offer them as a perfect sacrifice of mercy for the whole world. And this easily can save the world. Why? Because while the sins of the world are finite, the mercy that flows from the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is infinite. For the sake of Christ's sorrowful passion, we just need at least 3 people calling out to the Father, "Have mercy on us and on the whole world." That's the chaplet. That's the way to save the world through the power of God's merciful love. You know, it really is true. Just a small army of little souls can effectively help God to save the world by receiving all the rejected mercy that other souls don't want, the offering to merciful love, and by calling out for mercy as they borrow the infinite merits of Christ on the cross, the chaplet. So once again, do you want to help save the world? Today's prayer, come Holy Spirit, fire of mercy. Inspire me to help save the world as a prayerful missionary of divine mercy. How do you feel about saving the world or being a part of the mission to save the world? In my mind, it sounds cliche. It sounds too good to be true. It sounds unrealistic. But to really appreciate the reality that it is a part of our call, and it is a part of the invitation to be baptized and incorporated into the very life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Again, it's not that we then try and imitate Jesus's life. We participate in it. We partake of that saving mission. And so this isn't just hopeful aspirations. No, this is actually a metaphysical, true participation in what Jesus did, and that by what he did on Calvary and in the empty tomb and then in the ascension into heaven, he extends to us sacramentally through the church and her life and her faithful witness to carrying on these life-saving mysteries to you and me in our time and place in history. And by our faithful response, that kingdom is then built up in our own lives. This needs to be the way that we see the world, because this is the biblical vision. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come," we're not just praying optimistically, "Lord, hopefully your kingdom will come someday soon." Or it's like, "Thy kingdom come" is a command that we, as beloved sons and daughters of the Father, are commanding. May your kingdom be built up right here and right now through my prayers, through my sacrifices, through my intercessions, that I am actually bringing the kingdom of God into this time, this space, through my own heart, through my own life. And this is the way that we truly, to put it in the words of Father Gately, save the world. It's by participating in Christ's mission through our own fidelity. So how do you feel about living that more intentionally? I think that's kind of the heart of the question, that we have this at our disposal, those of us who are fully incorporated into the life of the church and live in this state of grace, that we have that right there. We have the fullness of grace offered to us from heaven through the church into our little souls. Do we intentionally respond? Do we intentionally take God up on the offer? Or are we ignorant? Do we not know? Have we not actually been told that we have this incredible role? That's very likely. I think there's many Catholics who have not really been told the incredible dignity that they have as baptized Christians to be missionaries, to be faithful disciples, to, by their own life, their own prayer, their own sacrifices, their own intercessions, to be able to build up the kingdom of God in an irreplaceable way, unique to only you, of how you can build up the body of Christ in and through your life. So maybe it is ignorance. Maybe it's shyness. Maybe it's fearfulness. Maybe it is this insecurity or self-doubt. And if so, I think we need to revisit some of St. Therese's writings earlier on, and as Father Gately tries to encourage us to not be afraid of whatever those fears or insecurities are. Those, in fact, can be the very gateways by which the Lord can work even more powerfully in and through us. That our fears, our weaknesses, our insecurities don't disqualify us. They actually empower us all the more to let his mercy flow to the lowest place. And when offered to the Lord, can be this avenue of incredible transformation for the world. The Divine Mercy Chaplet. Hopefully you're familiar with it. It really is a powerful prayer that calls upon God's mercy. And if you notice the prayer, "Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world." So I offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Like, how can we do that? We can do that because that is the Mass, that we are given that access to the Father in the Son through the Holy Spirit at the worship of God at Calvary, that we can, with the priest as our head, as the faithful, offer that sacrifice to the Father. And so at that, through him, with him, and in him, we are brought into that climactic moment of the offering, the sacrifice. And for us to, again, not just allow Mass to be this time when I'm in church saying or listening to these prayers, but that the Mass can actually be my life, that my life can be an offering. All of my thoughts, all of my words, all of my deeds can be united to that offering of Christ on Calvary. And so the Divine Mercy Chaplet, in a powerful, intentional way, is just that. By the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. By the sake of his sorrowful passion, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Calling upon his passion, his death, his offering of love, calling upon that to be the gateway, which it is, but now I'm intentionally imploring it to be the gateway for this moment, this place, through me. Have mercy on us and on the whole world. This bold claim, right? This is the heart of Therese. This bold, don't just limit yourself to think that it's only for you, maybe you, if God so desires or is generous this moment or something. Like, he wants to be, but he's asking us to trust him, that he wants to give us everything. So have mercy on us and on the whole world. So I invite you, if you're not familiar with the Divine Mercy Chaplet, to look it up, to follow the footnote in the end, and to be able to find that as a possible devotion. Okay, so there are some things to ponder and to think about. And so, yeah, I invite you to take up this prayer again, and we continue to pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fire of mercy, inspire me to help save the world as a prayerful missionary of divine mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you for joining us for this episode. To learn more about Drybones Ministries events and initiatives, and to support this podcast, go to drybonespgh.org. Thanks, and God bless you.